She risks life and limb every day on her job. Stuntwoman Stephanie Stokes, next on The Culture Catch. Today's show is brought to you by our friends at Grosvenor Park, providers of financial solutions to the entertainment business. Visit them at grosvenorpark.com. Joining us today on The Culture Catch, stuntwoman et al., Miss Stephanie Stokes. I said the et al., that means you do a lot of other things as well.
Yes.
Yeah, ring announcer, singer-songwriter. Right. Singer.
Sanctioned ring announcer.
Which is very important because, you know, you just don't get to be one without being sanctioned.
Right.
I've never interviewed a stunt person. I've known stunt people. I've never really talked about what they do, why they do it, the machinations of how certain stunts work. And, you know, we always see the end result in movies. We go, wow.
You hope. That's what we're shooting for, the wow factor. Yeah. We're trying to make the actor look great.
But you're keeping yourselves very safe.
Hopefully.
And, you know, if that celebrity wants to do those stunts, extra safe, extra safe.
Right.
Why were you drawn into this world?
I've been in entertainment since I was a little kid, in a non-professional way. My dad was a hippie, and we used to travel up and down the East Coast, and he'd put me somewhere in a bar or a bar stool, and I'd start singing, and we'd get to stay overnight where we were. And I realized the accolades that I was getting as a young kid, and that positive sort of reinforcement I was getting. So as a singer, and in pursuing my career in singing, and I was an on-camera host, actually, on a pay-per-view channel with millions and millions of viewers, paid to be there with my clothes on with a bunch of nude people, which was, it was an affiliate of the Playboy channel at the time.
Right.
I was pursuing my music career and very frustrated, and started to run like Forrest Gump, and started to weight train, and started to go to a shooting range and use my the license I had gotten as a teenager, which was my hunting certification, mm-hmm. and my boating certification skills, and trying to figure out how I could not really sort of just sort of use some of my skills,
but converge.
Yeah, but I wasn't really great at it. I wasn't a gymnast. I wasn't known as an athlete. I was very awkward. I have scars all over my body and my hand, as you see, even the way I hold my microphone. But it was getting some of my frustrations out, and I got involved in mixed martial arts. And that sort of evolved. And in doing that, I met someone who was a stunt coordinator, who is my dear husband now, who I torture the man every day of my life, the poor guy. And but I said to him, he wanted me to promote his company, Never Quit Stunts. And I said, if you want me to promote your company and a talent website called networkingtalent.com, a great vehicle for people breaking in the business.
Right.
I said, you got to let me actually work for you. I have to see what you do. And he gave me a chance, threw me off a roof. I walked away before he threw me off the roof. Explained to me, Tuck, this is how you're going to do it, this is how you're going to do it. Didn't say to me, have you really ever done this before? I think he didn't want to know the answer.
Right.
And he had such this heralded career and is really so remarkably known for what he does. He must have had the wherewithal. When you're doing stunts and you're a stunt coordinator, you have to know who you're dealing with and
right.
the people you're dealing with, because you have to make something look real. You're actually taking an accident and recreating it, but keeping people safe. And I did an okay job. And got thrown on the show Third Watch, and I was able to double the actresses, and I said, I can do this. So then I was able to harness. He taught me how to harness the skill set that I did have, martial arts, in fitness, in my fitness certification, and put them together, be in some ways low guy in the totem pole, taught mm-hmm. me rigging, taught me fire safety, and said to me, this is what you gotta learn, this is, you wanna do wheel work, this is how you gotta do it. And I had to fight my fears, I had to fight my demons.
Well, you know, what were your biggest fears? Just the apprehension of each stunt? You know, like the physical harm or the potential death?
That is a huge factor, but Dusty, I don't know if, and I hope you realize that I'm making complete eye contact with you and telling you that the fact of the matter is, the pending death that could happen from that, and I'm not trying to sound corny, is really not nearly
as
bad.
Heart palpitations.
And the anxiety attacks, and the body shutting down,
right.
And the mind shutting down, and the feet sweating profusely but being ice cold while I'm on a beam on an OSHA line and a safety line on the inside of Nassau Coliseum, terrified with 1,000 extras down the bottom,
right.
Screaming, jump! And I'm not supposed to jump. I'm
right.
Doubling an actress that's delicately falling with
right.
a 30-pound train off of a veil that I'm wearing.
Right, right, right.
So it's not so much the real pending death or whatever could come along with it, really.
So I was going to say, are you an adrenaline junkie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, because we interviewed Shane McConkie, who's a base jumper, and he does mm-hmm. really insane ski stunts.
Mm-hmm.
And for him, he says, no, I'm not an adrenaline junkie. And I'm like, well, for me, that was kind of a disconnect, because I couldn't understand why you would risk yourself if you don't have that adrenaline rush, if there's some endorphins not streaming through your bloodstream to make you want to do these things.
Right.
And this is just bragging rights. Like, yeah, I skied off of that summit and then had a parachute, dislodged from my pack and then landed safely to Earth.
Dusty, you think that a notch on the belt isn't something exciting to have, actually?
Well, sure, yeah. You want to have bragging rights.
Yes,
yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
There is something to be said for
that.
Yeah,
I mean, as a woman especially, because typically you think of stunt people, you don't think of the woman's side. You always think of it's funny. We think of the men because they do the harder stunts, allegedly.
Well, Ginger Rogers said that women do, and my husband reminds me of this every day, women do what men can do. Women do everything that men can do, except we do it backwards and in 4 or 5 inch stilettos.
I like those.
Thank you.
How do you prepare for a stunt? I mean, aside from your husband making sure, and the crew that you've hired, making sure it's absolutely safe, do you go inside of yourself? Do you meditate? Do you get into a mindset where you say, okay, I need to look natural now because this is required by the director?
You know what? That, I have to tell you, that's a great question, and all these are great questions, but looking natural isn't necessarily what's going to get you the job or get you hired again. And I'm just going to sort of go into that because it's kind of
sure.
cool. I go on go-sees, I go on calls, casting calls, and they'll say, okay, great, we have 4 gymnasts and then Stephanie, the stuntwoman, and Stephanie Stokes-Mine, the stuntwoman, and you're going to have a shopping cart crash into you, and you're going to land in the shopping cart, you're going to fall, and you get all the ta-das when they're done. I think, like, the part of me that was never the pageant girl as a kid, but always kind of wanted to be, goes, wow, she looked so graceful when she did that. But if you fall in the grocery store and you get hit by a shopping cart, or you get hit by a small car or a Fiat,
right.
or a taxi cab, you don't fall graceful.
No.
You don't make it look nice, so it's got to be dirty. So that part of it, that's why I think a lot of people in the business don't necessarily assimilate well from the world of gymnastics or live performance, because of the beauty element that is so critical to their acceptance from the audience is not what's going to make them get them a call back. I hate to say it.
No.
Get them a call
yeah,
back.
Yeah, absolutely. You just got hit by that Volkswagen and you really stuck the landing.
No, ta-da! You can't do that. As much as I
she
love that.
She stuck that landing, man. She was awesome.
Right. You work a lot, if you can, believe it or not, adapt and assimilate, blend.
Right.
We don't want to see long blonde hair. We don't want to see great muscles or good muscles. I'm working on great.
Right.
I'm trying. And no, try
you look
to keep
fine,
the proteins
babe. You look
up.
Fine.
Thank you. And, but they don't want to see buxom or sexy. They want to see... You have to look like the actress. I have to look like Frances McDormand, and she's got to be thrilled that I'm her double.
Right.
And I want to work again.
Right.
So the more...
Did you work on Fargo? Is that what you're saying?
No, I worked on Friends with Money, which was great.
Uh-huh.
A couple black eyes for her a couple times, and then I was doing some ring interviewing the following weekend. So boy, I think I was cool.
Sure,
talk about notching
why
not? My belt, because I have black eyes too.
Right.
I might not be a black belt in BJJ or even a blue belt. But, the white belt syndrome. It's like, look, I got bruises, man. I'm rocking here.
You're there,
with you.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Was there one stunt physically that was like, wow, you got done with that? Like, I can't believe I did that. Or was that the very first one when he threw you off the building?
Frankly, the one that can go wrong, the worst in a lot of ways, is, it's wheel work that I haven't done yet, is car jumps or car flips. But the one that I have done, I would have to say a burn, because if it goes sideways, you get burned.
Right.
This is a third-degree burn on my hand.
Right.
This is the most I can make of a fist.
The big question, though, is when do you know when to step out of the game?
We have to know. We have to step out of the game. Oh my God! Somebody.
Well, don't you move
that's
from
horrible.
Don't you move from like the physical stunts to just planning the stunts? Don't you get to a certain age where you say, okay, like my body can't absorb any more punishment? Now it's time for me just to rig and teach and instruct and hire.
Does this look like a face that's accepting that?
Well, no, of course not.
You have to get back to me in a couple of years.
Okay,
about that.
A couple of years. So you've got a couple more years left.
Yeah,
a couple, 10 years.
I hope to grow. I hope to learn. I hope to teach.
Well, you know, now with CGI, though, don't you feel like you can just do all this stuff with CGI, can't you?
If you want.
Have blue screen, you have somebody laying out on a mat with a blue screen around them. You can be like, hey, you know, Iron Man, we can have you flying and falling and crashing and blah, blah, blah.
You'd be surprised how expensive real stunts can get.
Right.
So budgetary issues are not always a factor in going
right
with either CGI or stunts. But the one thing that is an issue, there's no Oscar for stunts.
Well, you have the awards now that they've been the last
Taurus
couple
awards.
Of years. Right.
Right. Right. Which is great to have that. But the amazing thing is that they sell movies on action.
Right.
And I do believe that there is some level of excitement or some old school in even the big budget movies where when the producers say, you know what, yeah, we'll CGI this, we'll cliffhanger, we'll CGI this, but you know what, we're going to do this stunt on the street. You're going to get thousands of people in the town to know that we're there. It's going to be all over the entertainment shows. Let people know. It's sort of built-in PR. So if no other reason, I'm just giving you my own opinion.
Sure,
So for no other reason, do a couple of stunts live. Get the best stunt people that you can. Get the best stunt coordinator. The best second unit director. Don't complain. Let them get their stunt adjustments. If this guy took a hit, if he flipped a car, if he did a pipe ramp, if you have somebody rappelling out of the side of the building, we know there's going to be CGI in there. Do some live stuff. You get so many people, like Charlie's Angels. I mean, you have masses of people on set watching this.
Right.
Do a couple of weeks of some great stunts and do them live. You have the money, CGI what you need, mix the two worlds, converge them both, and come out with a really great product that the world is going to want to see forever and buy and own.
So what stunt would you like to do, besides the one that you and your husband want to do where you break the record rappelling? Is there something you haven't tried yet that you said, yeah, man, I gotta go for that? Can I get cast for that?
I would love to do a pipe ramp. I'd love to flip
a
car.
What's a pipe
ramp?
It's
basically flipping a car off a ramp, and it's tied off. It's technical. It can go wrong really easily. I would love to do one of those, something on the west side.
So you have to really study how to do it with engineers and everything?
It wouldn't be necessarily studying. It would be really being very confident in knowing the mechanics.
Skills?
My driving skills and knowing the mechanics with prop guys and with the wheel guys and car prep guys and really knowing what I'm doing and really listening, shutting up and listening and listening to direction. And if the voice, the feeling inside my stomach is anything but nerves and there's something that I have a concern about, is really knowing who to speak up to and saying, okay, this, I don't know that I'm going to get this shot. I might miss my mark here, or I have a feeling about this or what have you. And knowing when to speak, who to ask, putting in a racing harness and making sure I'm safe. Honestly, I would also love to do a big burn and a fall. And we have them. We have a fellow, Norman Douglas.
So you
Norman
catch on fire
Douglas.
And then you fall.
Yes, we have a guy, Norman Douglas, who I just worked
with. So you
got
to hold your
with.
Breath for like, you know, twice the time.
Exactly. And talk about a fear factor. I mean, Norman Douglas, we just worked together on a film, Carriers. I doubled Piper Perabo, and he did some great stunt work on that, and he's a New York guy. And Norman did the, whatever it was, 12-story, I'm now picking out of my brain, off of Rockefeller Center, on fire and flipped. And honestly, that was one of those moments, the aha moments, where the guys all across the country said, that's a stunt man.
Yeah.
Well, it was great.
I mean, just thinking about it, I get vertigo. Are there schools now? I mean, do you guys put your, you know, people who want to be in the game, who may want to work for you, through a school? Is there a school of hard knocks for stunt people now?
There, I would be remiss to tell you that there are not. There are stunt schools, but the best training could be getting
certified
on the job, following direction.
Right.
And also getting certain certifications. If you get called or you think a big movie's coming to town, when Taxi came to town a couple of years ago, there were 70 people that got bumped either from extras or that were trying to actually do some wheel work. Okay, so it's the 59th car in the back of the list. It's the back of the line on the West Side Highway, and no one's ever going to see what you do. But you're going to learn if you pay attention and you don't talk about the extra work, not to knock that, but that what you were doing last week, and you watch, then next week go out to one of the driving schools. Go take a course. Go take your Fire 1 or your Rescue 1 fire course if you can, and then volunteer for your town perhaps and bring some safety to the element. if you can sign up for ROCO Rope Rescue. Get your boating certification and safety. Get your hunting license. Familiarize yourself with...
CPR it must be the easiest thing to get, right?
That actually was, yeah.
All these other things, rigging and...
Yeah.
I can't even keep it straight. I'm sure we could have 8,000 links on this interview. So, I mean, you know, like the point is you just can't take this lightly. I mean, there's a lot of forethought. There's a lot of training. There's a lot of learning on the job constantly to stay at the top of your game.
Yes, but you keep going for it and you realize that there's sort of a chain of life that also exists in business. And you can only hope to encourage others around you to do the best they can. And you have to find a sense of peace with that. And that might be what I'm here for.
Hey, it's a great gig.
While I'm challenging myself and trying to keep
myself
safe.
And you look great doing it.
Thank you. That's
Stephanie Stokes, thanks so much for being on Culture Catch.
Thank you.
I mean, the next stunt you're watching out there, it could be Miss Stokes out, you know, on fire, or falling, or she and her husband rappelling from, I don't know, Mount Everest. Some other huge.
Cool. Too many months to prepare, but that would be
too
cool.
Too many months to prepare, all right.
That would be really cool, though.
Anyway, we'll see you soon. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you.
That, of course, is the Ohio Players with their song Fire. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Miss Stephanie Stokes. If you'd like to leave a comment for us in the iTunes directory, just type the word Culture Catch in the search engine. You'll find our landing page. Then you can leave a comment. And I'd like to thank Grosvenor Park for sponsoring this show. Providers of financial solutions to the entertainment business, visit them at grosvenorpark.com. And for more smart, smart culture, visit our website, culturecatch.com. We've got plenty of written reviews, video podcasts, events, and more. This is Dusty Wright for the Culture Catch. Converge is the word.